I'm pleased to welcome back the voice of the racers, Neil Bradley.
Glad to be here. Happy winter.
You got that right.
Gee.
The first thing we need to do, Neil, is go back and look at the last three games of the regular season and hopefully use them to gauge the racers' readiness for the OVC tournament. And we'll start by going back to the February 22nd date here at home against Moorhead. The racers won that 69-58.
Well, the Eagles came in. They're playing really well. I'll be brutally honest. I was, you know, quite fearful. This could be one of those tests that the racers might not be able to come out on top of, simply for the fact Moorhead brought so much beef into the lineup and they'd been such a hot team. But so far, the racers, especially when the games are at home, they really seem to be able to rise to the occasion. This was one of those games. They shot great in the first half. They jumped on Moorhead early, pushed the lead beyond 20 points. Moorhead made a quick run at the start of the second half, as you probably anticipate they would. And something that, to me, was really telling about the growth of the team is I think Moorhead cut it from 21 points to 9 points, and Steve Prohm didn't call a timeout. He just said, guys, time for you to figure it out. The freshmen or sophomores, the JUCO guys, you got 20-something games under your belt. Figure it out on your own. They did, push the lead back into the teens, and Moorhead really never made a serious challenge. So come out of that game, this was that was another one, though, too, where Jonathan Farrell, his play, he out-rebounded Chad Postumus, the nation's leading rebounder in that particular contest, and had a fantastic game. Just up and down the line, it was a great night for the racers.
Then on the 27th, the racers went down to Martin, Tennessee, came away with an 86-72 victory.
That was one, you know, anytime you're playing a team, they have 20-something losses, and then earlier in the week, their athletic director said they would have a press conference the next Monday to address the future of the basketball program. You usually know how that's going to work out. So I was fearful that might give his players the incentive to perhaps pull a rabbit out of their hat. And they played pretty well. They took a lead early in the second half, I think, when D. Oldham hit a jump shot to put Martin up. But within like 10 seconds, the racers went right back on top, pushed the lead into double digits. And even though they were never able to bury them, Martin never made a serious run from that point on. But good inside play in that one. The problem with that game, though, with about – I think 10 minutes left in the game, Jarvis Williams comes off with a back injury. And it looked as if it was going to be something serious. Turned out that it wasn't, but a lot of fans had an uneasy drive back to Murray, who were at that game, because they just thought, oh, if they lose him inside, they really don't have anyone else to go to.
And the racers finished out the regular season on Saturday. They traveled to Southeast Missouri, and this looks like the score of an NBA game, Neil. Lost it 118-115.
That was about like an NBA game because there was hardly any defense played at all. From a just as brutal as I can say it, except for about the first 10 minutes of the second half, the racers were about as bad defensively as they've been in OVC play. They just didn't defend well. I don't know why. Give credit to Southeast Missouri, though. They made tough shots. They made easy shots. But Antonius Cleveland and another kid, Jamal Calvin, two freshmen who I really didn't think would be much of an impact in the game, they combined for nearly 50 points. And that was a big difference. Jericus Bradley been nursing a knee injury. You know, he's going to get his. Tyler Stone will get his. But it was just a game where Southeast Missouri, I think they've had so many bad things happen to them this year, they were due a little bit of luck. So in the last 2 weeks, they've made a mid-court shot to win, and then they picked up 118 points. Racers did all they could, had a chance to win it. Cam Payne at the end of the first overtime with 4 seconds to go, goes to the line with a chance to make 2 free throws. He's a terrific free throw shooter, and he missed both. Racers couldn't get it done in the second overtime, but I'll tell you what, without Cam Payne, you're not in that game with a position to win the game. And that night, you're not playing for a share of the conference championship. So he has nothing to be ashamed of. He turned out to be the freshman of the year, made the All-OVC first team. I can't remember the last freshman that did that. So he's doing okay.
I was going to ask you the last time you remember a freshman making first team All-OVC. Just a spectacular freshman campaign for Cam Payne.
Yeah, it really was. And you have to think, he's going to get better. You know, he's going to add more strength. This is a kid who didn't have a chance to go through the pre-conditioning workouts because he spent several weeks with mononucleosis. So he comes in just not in the condition he probably needs to be in because of that. And next year, get some strength in him, probably add 5 to 10 pounds of muscle, and suddenly he's probably going to be a little bit better.
This sets the stage for the OVC Conference Tournament, and correct me if I'm wrong, with one exception, the OVC is a one-team conference for the NCAA Tournament.
That is correct. It's only happened one time. There's all sorts of conjecture that when the Racers won 31 games a couple seasons ago that it would have happened. We'll never know. I believe they would have gotten in. And then a little caveat on that, the only time that it did happen, Jim Delaney, who was the commissioner of the conference, was the head of the selection committee, and he got two teams in. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But he was going to the Big Ten the next year, so maybe a little bit of favor with, I think they got Akron and Middle Tennessee in that particular year. But, yeah, it's a one bid league. I think we all know going in to get to the NCAA tournament, going to have to win Saturday night.
How does it look like the bracket is going to shape up for the Racers? We're having this conversation before the tournament's actually even kicked off.
All right, well, if it goes all chalk, the Racers will play Eastern Kentucky at 9 o'clock on Friday night, and Moorhead would play Belmont. But usually there's at least one upset in there. The team that seems likely to pull that might be Southeast Missouri, and it could be a team that now they'll have to get past Eastern Illinois, and that's a contrast of styles. Eastern Illinois is a team that likes the score to be 65 to 68, somewhere around in there. Southeast Missouri, somewhere in the high 80s to 90s. So the winner of that game will get Eastern Kentucky, and then the Racers will get the winner of that contest. So it could be any of those three teams. The good news is Murray State's 4-1 against those teams. And on the other side of the bracket, Belmont, they have a tough time if Tennessee Tech especially makes it to them. I know Tech would have had to have played two nights to get through Moorhead, get through their opening round game against Evansville, but Tech already beat Belmont in Cookeville, and they almost beat them in Nashville. They're just a team, for whatever reason, Belmont doesn't seem to match up well against.
If not the Racers or Belmont, your dark horse to win the tournament would be?
I would pick Eastern Kentucky. I know a lot of folks think Southeast Missouri's hot, but to win 4 in 4 days, to me, you know, it takes really something special. I mean, I know Connecticut did it a few years back with, Kimber Walker or something like that. They won 5 in 5 days, but it's really difficult to do, I think, at this level. And I would say Eastern Kentucky. If the Racers or Belmont don't do it, I think the Colonels have the talent to do it.
So assuming that the Racers meet the Colonels in the semifinals, do you expect anything different to happen than in the regular season? Any concerns for you from the Racers' perspective?
I don't know. The Racers really got into them when the one time they met, played them at Eastern Kentucky. Defensively, it was a big knockout punch. And they also got a big boost from Dexter Fields. Dexter had been a little bit sick. Didn't really know that. They had him examined. They thought he might have had mono, but he didn't. But he was sick. I think he was just shooting terrible over his last 5 or 6 games from three range. I think he busted out 4 threes in the first half, helped them get off to a good start defensively. They got into Glenn Cozy, and he never got on track the entire night. Had one of the worst nights of his season, and that was, I think, huge. Best defensive game wire-to-wire I've seen from the Racers all season long in OVC play. I got a feeling Eastern will probably make some adjustments. It'll be a tougher game, but I think the Racers can win the game from a talent standpoint. They match up really well with Eastern Kentucky.
The game everyone wants to see, including obviously ESPN, is going to be a rematch of the Racers and Belmont in the championship game. What did you take from the game down in Nashville, which the Racers did lose, but in a very close fashion, that would give you some hope for pulling off that victory in the title game?
Well, the Racers wiped out double-digit leads in the first half of 14 points, came back and took the lead, and then came within a 3-point shot at the buzzer of wiping out another double-digit lead in the second half. I think that gives them the confidence that they can score on Belmont. But I'll tell you what, they give up 99 points, they're probably not going to win. Again, they'll have to play much better defensively. Belmont's one of those. I know people think that they just launch three after three after three, but when you take a look at it, when they shoot 25 or more threes, they rarely win. They're better when they're shooting, you know, 12 to 14 three-pointers, and they kill people on those backdoor cuts. You just have to look at the film on these guys or watch them in a game. It's the backdoor cuts. It's the layups. That's where those great shooting percentages come from. And, yes, they can make open threes when they get them, but the deadly part of their offense is the backdoor cuts, and that's something the Racers, they have to be much better than. And right now, Belmont is playing as well as anyone. Their last three games, they've won by 19, 19, and 23. They're smoking hot going into the tournament.
If the Racers were to win the tournament, they would be a 20-10 team. About where do you think this would land them on the seed line?
I know everyone will always look at that and you'll say a 16, but here's what you usually get. There's going to be two or three teams from some of the lesser conferences as well that will send someone who probably shouldn't be there. That's usually going to knock them down. I'm thinking probably a 15. They don't really have any signature wins. I would say 14 at the absolute best, but more than likely a 15.
But I guess from the Racers' perspective, they would avoid playing in what is now called the first round. It used to be the play-in round. Now it's the first round.
I think they will. I think the only OVC team, if someone besides Moorhead, any of the top four seeds, actually, if any of the top four seeds don't, I think they might get the play-in game, as we call it. Southeast Missouri probably would still be that team, even though they would hover around 20 wins if they run the table.
Well, Neil, the next time we talk, we'll either be hopefully previewing the Racers in the Big Dance or looking back on what's been a very good and promising season to build on for Murray State. It's always a pleasure to have you on Sounds Good.
I do appreciate it. Thank you.